ELC Radio.
Hey family, what's going on? This is Pastor Cruz Ramirez with Abundant Living Faith Center from El Paso, Texas. This is the podcast that's going to help you love God and lift and others.
Love God, lift others. Love God, lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limon.
Psalms 95, 6 and 11, it says this: O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, now listen to this next part. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me. They tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts. Everybody say hearts. And they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest or my promise. Let's pray. Father, we thank you right now for your word. We thank you that your presence is here. We thank you, Lord God, that your word tells us that our praise plows up, our hearts plows up the atmosphere, so the planting of your word can go into our spirits and our hearts and bear fruit. We open up our hearts and minds to you today. Father, we ask that you move in this place. Come on, I just want you to just lift your hands toward heaven right now. Holy Spirit, we anticipate you to speak. We anticipate you to give us keys to help us cross over this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. How many of y'all are open to the word this morning? Amen. You know, it's important that we don't come into church, and I got to do this from time to time, because we can get into religious modes of coming into church to do our church thing, and we don't do the church thing here. Amen. Tell your neighbor, we don't do that here. We don't just come to church to do our church thing. This ain't mass. Uh-oh. I saw some of y'all fire flare up right there. This ain't mass. Remember, you went to mass, you did your deal, you left, didn't learn nothing, didn't do nothing. Got real quiet in this Catholic church right now. I can see that. Listen, I'm not mad at the Catholics. It's fine. I'm just saying, this ain't that. When you come into the presence of God, you've got to come with an expectation that God, the word is going to come forth, and I want you to speak to me. And when you speak to me, I'm going to respond. Because it's a response to the word that brings change. And isn't that what we want? I don't know about you. Does anybody here desire change? How many could use some change in your finances? How many could use some change in your relationships? How many could use some change in your single status? Less amens right there. She could have got more on that one. How many can use some change? How many want to be a better person? How many want to be more like Jesus? See, that's the ultimate goal. So when we come into the house of God, and as I'm in the kitchen cooking all week, trying to get the word of the Lord, my desire is that I can get the word, that it can be planted in your heart, that if you grasp it, take it, you can grow and change. Because we want to elevate lives. Amen. Isn't that the vision of the house? We want to go higher. We want to elevate. Tell your neighbor, I want to elevate. We want to elevate. So as we're doing that, the word of the Lord for us right now is that it's time to cross over. It is time. So many of us, we left Egypt. You know what Egypt represents? That old life. Egypt represents bondage. When you used to be in the club every night, when you was sleeping around, when you was smoking, when you was drinking, when you couldn't stop drinking, when you was doing life without God, that's Egypt. Because life without God is nothing but bondage. Okay? How many know that? Life void of God and Jesus is nothing but hell. How many can attest to that? I can attest to that. Without God, man, life is hard. Life is difficult. See, the enemy lies to you and says, man, if you just quit going to church, you're going to have fun. Listen, sin is fun for a moment, the Bible says. But when the moment fades, then you're left with a whole lot of bondage. So Egypt represents us in our old life, our old bondages. We were slaves to sin, slaves to Satan, slaves to darkness. Then God brings us out of bondage. He brings us out of Egypt, and we have this wilderness time where it's like, yes, I'm not a slave to sin no more. I go to church. I'm a Christian. I got a new identity. I've got riches in Christ. But then, how many know, God comes and he says, yeah, but this ain't the destination. I have a promised land. I have a life for you that I literally died to give you. And so there is a life on the other side of Christ's sacrifice for you that he wants to give you. John 10:10 tells us about it. It says it's a better life than you could ever dream of. It's a life of abundance. Now, I don't know about you, but that is my destination. When I die and I leave this earth, I want to have tasted of the promised land that God had for the Lamones. And you should have that same desire for your family, that our family is going to taste the life that Jesus died for us to give. Can I get an amen on that? But here's what I've come to tell you. So many believers never make it to their promised land. They never make it. They stay. Now, they're happy they're not in Egypt anymore. They're saved now. Whoopee, when we die, we'll go to heaven. Ha, they're awesome. But they never get to experience the new creation realities and the salvation here on the planet Earth that Jesus is trying to say to you, going, hey, come on, let's keep going. The wilderness is not our destination. Manna is not all you get to eat. Let's go over into the land that's flowing with milk and honey. Some of you said, but I'm lactose intolerant. You get the point. You get the point. It means there's abundance. It means life is sweet. Amen? It means you're taken care of. It means all those things. It means you're fulfilled. But here's what I see after almost 30 years of ministry. That's a long time, y'all. That's a long time to be in the ministry. And what I see time and time again is people content in the wilderness. And we're just glad we ain't in Egypt. But hold up. Wait a minute. No. That's not all there is. There's another life on the other side. There's a life of abundance. There's a life, check it out, where the dreams that God gave you can come true. The life that you've always had can come true. I'm telling you, folks. And when you read about the children of Israel, and I want to encourage you as we're doing this series, I want to encourage you yourself, read the book of Exodus. Go back, read Joshua. See what some of the things I'm talking about for yourself. Because God is trying to take a prophetic word and graft it in to your heart so that you can get a revelation that you don't need to stay where mama and papa stayed. We just read in the scriptures here, God's desire is to take you further than your grandparents, than your parents. And some of them, they camped in the wilderness, baby. They loved it there. But it's time for you and I to cross over. Who's with me in here today? Amen. Well, we're going to see about that. Amen. So Israel rebelled against God, the Bible says. So the book of Psalms is a writing that took place way after the ordeal took place in Joshua. Years and years later, the psalmist writes about this situation that kept Israel from crossing over to their promised land. And he points something out as God is prophesying through this writer here. He says, don't harden your hearts as they did in the rebellion. He said, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. The wilderness is about trial. How many of you understand that? See, some of you don't understand it. You're in a trial right now. And you keep failing the trial. What happens when you keep failing the test? You have to keep repeating the course. And all the teachers said, amen. Now, I know that maybe doesn't apply in 2018, because our school systems will pass kids that ain't doing their work. How many know a high school diploma is meaning less and less? Some of y'all know because you was one of them kids. They just signed it because you're too dang old to keep staying here. Go on. That's how it is nowadays. But did you know the reality of it should be, you don't pass the test, you don't get the promotion. It's what it comes down to. And can we just be real honest with ourselves when you're hearing the word today? What are some of the tests that you keep flunking? What are some of the trials that God cannot promote you over because you keep choosing to fail in those areas? Let's key in on those things. Because Israel, when it came down to their trial, what was their trial? Their trial was things got tough. Things got tough. Can I just tell you something? Things are going to get tough. And it's when things get tough, you get to see what's really on the inside of you. See, you could put the makeup on, you could put the nice dress on, you could put the nails on, you could do all that. But when you're going through a struggle, that's when we see what's in you. Amen? You could dress up, fellas, you could shave, you could do the whole deal. You could look like you got it all together. You could talk right. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You're highly blessed. But let's see how you act when there's a trial. Because the trial reveals what's really in your heart. And I've seen people cuss somebody out in a trial. And then you say, that's brother so-and-so? You didn't know that was in there. What reveals our hearts is our trials. A lot of people run back to their past in their trials. That's what Israel tried to do. When it got tough, they came to Moses and said, we're tired of eating this manna. We should go back to Egypt. At least over there, we got onions and frijoles. I don't know what the deal was with that. They wanted to go back because there was beans, leeks, and onions, as the Bible says. They were willing to put themselves back under slavery to escape. Here it is, to escape the hard feeling they were going through. Boy, that sounds like some of us. It's hard. Suck it up, buttercup. If you can't hack it, get your jacket. Because you know what? Being great is hard. Oh, forget that. Being good is hard. You know what's even harder? Sucking is hard. Being whack is hard. Being broke is hard. Tell your neighbor life is hard. Some of you in a trial in your marriage and you want to quit because it's hard. Let's go back to Egypt. It's hard. Big Israelite. That's how they acted. Moses, this is getting tough. Wait a minute, it's getting tough? You wake up every day and there's Krispy Kreme outside of your tent called manna? Yeah, but we're getting tired of that. Let's go back to Egypt. Did you forget you were slaves? Did you forget you built pyramids and people whipped you? Did you forget you had no say in your destiny? Yeah, but we had onions, leeks, and beans. That was their response, is what the Word of God says. Did you know in trials sometimes you make dumb decisions if you love comfort? If you're a lover of comfort, you better watch out because you're going to do anything you need to get to comfort. And here's the thing. The road, the Bible tells us, the road to the things of God is narrow. That means it's got some, it gets rough. It gets tough. You got to go through some crevices. You got to climb. Anybody here ever like really hiked? Yeah, really hiked. I'm not talking about these trails back in here. You know, I hike in Atwood Grove. We went hiking. No, that's not hiking, brother. Go up to the mountains there and start hiking a little bit where you get to them trails and there's just enough room for you to put your feet or you got to get your hands involved and stuff like that. That's the road that some of us, what we all have to go on if we're going to follow Christ. And what we want to do here, what I want to do as a pastor, as a shepherd, man, I want to prepare my people to not quit when it gets tough. I want to prepare the people of God that are sitting under this word every Sunday to know, hey, listen, the road to the promised land is going to get tough. You got to be tough. Tell your neighbor, be tough. Got to be tough. Anything you want is going to be tough. College is going to be tough, high schoolers. High school is going to be tough, middle schoolers. That's where I'll stop because all the rest of them are in children's church right now. But it's going to be tough, whatever is going to be tough. Single people, marriage is going to be tough. It's tough. That's what it is. Life is tough. But here's the thing. When we're being tried, we can't rebel. We can't rebel. And the psalmist wrote here, Israel rebelled against God when they were tried. And this is what a lot of us do. It gets tough, we quit. It gets tough, we go back. It gets tough, we want a divorce. It gets tough, we will forget it, I made the wrong decision. No, it's just tough. Israel had plenty of time. They, time and time again, they cried to go back to Egypt. But did you know why they didn't? Because their leader. Nope, let's stay the course. Let's stay the course. And so we have to make a decision. Things are going to get tough. We got to cross over. Amen. Think about this. Even though Israel saw the miracles of God, they still rebelled against him. They still rebelled against him. These dudes saw the Red Sea split in half. They walked over through the Red Sea on dry ground, looking to the right, seeing all kinds of fish swimming. And if you've ever seen the movie, Prince of Egypt. Thank you. I don't know why that didn't come out. That's old school. That's a 90s movie. Prince of Egypt, or you see these Ten Commandments movies. The miracle of these guys got to see nature, the laws of nature just broken by the hand of God. They saw the Red Sea parted. They saw the plagues where frogs invaded the land and flies and locusts. They saw the firstborn of every household die except for theirs. They saw and experienced all this, yet they still had hard hearts. I see this today all the time. I see it all the time. Christians, we're like this, you know? When we have a need, you know how many couples I prayed with when they got a bad report about their pregnancy? And they go, oh, Pastor, the doctor says, come on in here, let's pray. We pray, God does a miracle, the baby comes into the earth, we don't see him in church no more. You know how many people get healed of cancer? I could think of people at this altar that have been healed of diseases and cancerous things. They get healed, then they walk away. They're good with God, but then they go through a trial and they go back. We don't see them no more. You know how many single people pray for a husband? Then they get a man? Before they had a man, they was at church, they was serving, they was ushering, they was doing this, they was doing that. Then God answers their prayer. But we ain't got time for church no more. We're having family time. We pray for couples. God, we're just believing to get a baby, Lord. We're believing. The doctor says it's going to be hard. Then God gives you a baby. Check your response to the miracle. Does the miracle take you away from the things of God? It shouldn't. It should cause you to go harder after the Lord. Harder. God, you gave me what I prayed for. Let me step up my service to you. Let me give more to you. Let me do more things. But see, we're just like Egypt. We get what we need, and then we're just gone. We dip. We forget the goodness of God. Are you tracking with me today? Listen, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm trying to wake you up to, listen, God has more for you. God has more for you. He wants to do more for you. But we can't be like Egypt. We can't be like the Israelites. And even though we see God move, even though we saw God take us out of our bondage, we can't forget that we need to listen to his voice and serve him. So here's what it said there in Psalms 95. It says they rebelled against God. See, here's what it comes down to, people. They saw God deliver them out of the hands of the greatest nation on the planet. And not only did he deliver them, he delivered them with all of the riches of the land. Remember, the Bible says that. They walked out with all of their slave master's riches. They get into the wilderness. God parts the Red Sea and then kills the greatest army that the world had known that time by drowning them all in the Red Sea. That's a W right there. Yet, they never gave God their heart. And I really want you to take inventory of your own life today. Some of you have experienced God do some amazing, amazing things, but he still ain't got your heart. He still ain't got your heart. He delivered you out of drugs. He delivered you out of alcohol. He gave you his son. You got saved. You become a part of the church. You've joined a serve team. You've doing some kind of ministry. You've gone on missions trips. You've seen God do incredible things with your own eyes, but he still don't have your heart. That's a scary thing. Because I've met pastors of big ministries. And at the end of the day, the fruit of their life showed God didn't even have their heart. Man, that scares me. That causes me to do a checkup. It ain't about what I do, it's about what I am. yet what I do is important. And so Israel's greatest sin was that even though they experienced God, they never gave him their heart. And this is what I want to address today. And I want you to hear me with ears of the Spirit that, listen, just because you're in the things of God don't mean he got your heart. He wants your heart. That was the whole thing that pulled them back. And then Jesus makes a statement in Matthew 15, 7 and 9. Look what he says here, talking to the church people of his day, the religious crowd of his day, the God followers of his day. He says, hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. So there's a couple things I want to point out there. He says there is a people that say they love God, but don't. Then he goes on to say they worship in vain. You know what that word vain means? Nothing happening. It's no good. It's worship that does nothing. It's like you might as well not even be worshiping. There's no presence. There's no change. There's no breaking. There's no transformation. This is how a lot of Christians are living their lives. Doing Christian things in vain. Maybe you look at your life and you go, man, my life should be getting better. I go to church. I give my tithe. I serve. Yet nothing's changing. I'm talking to you today. And I'm not talking to you in a way to put you down, but to help you up. Because I've been there. I've been there even in ministry, where I was doing things for God, and it seemed like all of it was in vain. Where I would even get up and preach messages, where I was saying things with my lips, but my heart was far from God. See, none of us are immune to this. And it's a sad place to be because it's called self-deception. You think you're good, but you're not. And this is what the church folks of Jesus' day were under. They thought they were straight because they did works. They had Christianity or their religion down, like so many of us have it down. But God doesn't have your heart. There's a difference. Because what he's after your heart. Careful of doing works with no heart. Careful, be careful of that. Get your heart involved. Look what Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1 says, another prophet giving a prophetic word about the end times. Many theologians believe he's talking about the seven churches in Revelation, which deal with the times we're living in now. And Isaiah, before Jesus, says this about our day, I believe 2018. He says that in that day, and you've heard me preach this before, seven women shall take hold of one man. Seven women shall take hold of one man. Now, that's a bad situation. Amen, ladies? Some of the men going, that ain't that bad, Pastor. No, it's bad all the way around. You can't handle seven ladies. Come on, somebody. You can't handle one. You want seven? Oh, Lord. In that day, seven women will take hold of one man. Now, listen, saying, we will eat our own food, wear our own apparel, only let us be called by your name to take away our reproach. So most theologians believe that the seven women he's talking about are the seven churches. The seven churches in Revelation. So basically he's saying this. There's churches that are saying to the one man who is Jesus, the bridegroom, we want to eat our own food. Food always speaks of doctrine. We want to do what we want to do. We want to translate the word the way we want to translate the word. We want to be Christians the way we think Christianity should be. This is the world we live in today. We've got Christians that don't obey the scriptures and say things like, well, I just don't see it that way. Or here's the dumbest thing you could ever say. This is my truth. Don't ever tweet that or put that on your Facebook. He has to do his truth. Well, that's her truth. No, doesn't work that way. You don't get to have your own truth. Come on, somebody, amen? You don't get to have your own truth. Truth is truth. And if it's just your truth, it ain't truth. Because somebody's going to sit there and go, well, my truth is I like to kill people. That's my truth. Oh, that's okay then. He's just living his truth. Watch out for him. Lock your doors. That's dumb. But that's the world we live in today. Now, I know it's. I took it to an extreme just to show you how dumb it could be. That's my truth. It's my truth. It's what I like to do. So, you know, that's my truth. You can't tell me how to live my truth. No, we can. You can't kill people. Amen? That's for somebody in here. Amen. Some of y'all looking around. No. That's why we have truth. Truth governs. We need to know you can't do what you want to do and call yourself a Christian. But Isaiah said there's coming a day where churches will take hold of the man, Jesus, and say, we're going to believe what we want to believe, and we're going to wear our own apparel, which speaks of identity. We just want you to be, let us be called by your name. Let us be called Christians. There's churches like that in this day. There's Christians like that in this day. You don't believe me, get on Facebook. And you'll see fools posting scriptures like they do in it. You know, how many know what I'm talking about? It's Sunday, so there's the Sunday quote of the week. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Go back on their posts, you'll see them in the club last night. Trust in the Lord with all their heart. Smoking it up. Come on, I mean, you know what I'm talking about. I'm not trying to throw stones at nobody. But y'all, I love y'all. We got to get it right here. Amen? Listen, I can't help every Christian out there on the planet. But if you're called to this church and you're a part of this, I got to give you the truth here. I don't want to see God look at us as a body and be disgusted. Because there are Christians out there that some of you maybe even follow or you share their mindset. And we got to fix that because this is how it works. We don't get to tell God what we want to believe. He gives us his word. We don't get to tell God how we want to be perceived by the world. We want to be liked by the world. Did you know Jesus said this? The world's going to hate you. They hated me. They're going to hate you. But you know what we as Christians want to do? We want to be everybody's friend. Let's be everybody's friend in the name of relevance. We want to be relevant. We just want to be everybody's friend. Listen, you could try to be everybody's friend, but everybody ain't going to like you because of the Christ in you. Because the Christ in me puts me in positions that are against people. I don't like it, but it's the way it is. People assume things about me. Do you know how many people have blocked me on Facebook just because they don't like my life? And I now run into them and say, I used to have you on Facebook. Oh, yeah, I don't know what happened. I don't know. I know what it is, because their pictures getting drunk with their buddies on Instagram, and then they scroll down and see mine at church, in church, preaching into the nations, you know, giving word and stuff like that. They don't like that. They don't even want to see that. They don't want that apart. Listen, I've lost family members. Family members. Some family members don't want to get around me and my brothers. It's not because we're preaching to them and you know, y'all already, if you know me, you know I ain't even like that. It's not like we're trying to prophesy over them every chance we get. Ain't nothing like that. We don't bring nothing up. Don't need to. They come over. They get all uncomfortable. So they don't want to be around us. And I have to remember, Jesus said they hated him. Some people aren't going to like us. Amen? It's just the way it is. That's a whole other thing. But let's get back to this right here. So here's what we've got to decide now. That we've got to understand that we've got to be people that understand that we got to give Jesus our all. See, what Isaiah is describing here is he's describing Christians today who want to be considered Christians but believe what they want to believe and do what they want to do. This is a problem, guys. This is a big problem. So let's go back to our story of crossing over here. Look at over here at Exodus chapter 32, 1 through 8. Something happens. Remember, the Israelites left Egypt. They're Christians now. They're free. They're not in the world anymore. And look what happens. Now, when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, he was spending time with God, the people gathered together to Aaron, and they said to him, come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the guy who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him. And Aaron said to him, break off the golden earrings which are in your ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters. Bring them to me. So all the people broke off the gold earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron, and he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool, and he made a molded calf. And they said, "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt." So when Moses saw it, when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Today is a feast to the Lord." And they arose early on the next day, offered burnt offerings, brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat, drink, and rose up to play. Let me stop right there for a moment. Look at this. So here's what happens. These are God's people, y'all. They're God's people. They've seen miracles, tasted salvation. Moses is up with God, and the people come to Aaron. See, they thought, "This is our chance." And they approach Aaron with an idea. "Aaron, we don't know what's happened with God, with Moses. We don't know where he's at. Check this out. Why don't you make us gods that we can worship?" You know what they were saying? Make God in an image that we can handle. That we can handle. So what does that mean? What does that translate into? So when you read this in the original Hebrew, what happens here is they begin to make this calf, and it says there, and when they're done with this calf, okay, they make this declaration: "This is the God, O Israel, that brought us out of Egypt." See, many people get it twisted. They think that this is when Israel turned to false gods. No, it's not. You know what they were doing? Changing the image of Yahweh into this calf. Like I said, in the original Hebrew, what it says there is, "This is Yahweh that brought us out of Egypt." They were not trying to serve another god. They were simply taking the god of their faith and making it in an image that they were comfortable with. So why did they choose a calf? Well, in Egypt, there was a god that was a calf, that was a bull. In the land of Canaan, where they were about to go, there was a god that was a bull. So I don't know what it is, but could it be that Aaron thought, "Let me use a calf because it's a little less threatening, a little less uncomfortable than a bull"? Amen? A calf isn't going to hurt you. A bull is going to jack you up. Amen? A calf isn't going to be, "Oh, a calf, it's just a calf." And they called it Yahweh. People, do you understand what was happening here to these people in the wilderness? They were making their God comfortable. We want to serve God, but we're going to serve him our way. They weren't turning away from God. They were simply changing his image. Could it be that this is what's happening in America in a lot of churches? That we ain't got no standards anymore. Come as you are. Yes, come as you are, but you don't stay as you are. Listen, you're part of this church. You're welcome to come in any condition, any form, and you guys have seen it. We've got people here that you better watch your purse right now, all right, sit next to you. Amen? You know, I'm joking. Maybe not. Amen. And we love that. We love that. We had some of the neighborhood kids come last week, and there was a little thing outside, and, you know, some of you parents might have saw that or whatever. Hey, that's all right. Let them come, and we're going to straighten them out if they come. But they might come in here acting a fool, and that's okay. Amen? Amen. I hope it's okay, because don't forget where you came from. Before you go complaining to somebody, let's go back to your childhood. How many people you cut? Not even childhood, 2 years ago. We're good. You can come into the house of God. Listen, our membership is even set up. Anybody can join this house. But if you're going to stay, you're going to understand God wants you to come into the ways of God. Because he's after your heart. Are you seeing this today? So what Israel did right here was say, "We still love you, God. We just don't think it's like that. We think it's like this. Maybe it don't take all that you're saying in your word." And they begin to accept certain things. Now, check this out. This is what's crazy when you see it through these eyes. So Israel says, "We're going," I mean, Aaron says, we're going to have church. That's what he says. He calls a feast. And they start having church in front of this image of Yahweh. And they start singing. And they start praising. And I love you. We want more of you. This is why I ain't on the praise team. We want more of you. And the people are dancing. And the people are singing. And they're collecting offerings. And they're doing all this stuff. In the name of God. That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. They're having church. They're having a feast. And they're not worshiping another God. In their mind, they're worshiping this God. And then it says this, and then the Lord said to Moses, go, get down from here, for your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt. I love how God said, I ain't even claiming them no more. These are your people. They've corrupted themselves. Look at what he says. They've turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. I gave them away, they're choosing another. They've made themselves a molded calf and worshiped it and sacrificed to it and said, this is the God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. See, God doesn't, he's not mad. They're not serving another God. They're serving an image that they're saying is him. He said, I gave them away, but they're choosing another way. How many Christians are doing this today, y'all? We got to be real careful. We got to be real, real careful how we do this thing. And listen, when I got the mic, I'm a pastor. Man, I get up every week. I say things that make people mad. I'm only the messenger, though. You can read scriptures and cause people to get angry. Because scriptures are true. All truth is confrontative. Yeah. Yeah. I'll say it like this. The first time you hear truth, it'll make you mad. Yeah. All truth is confrontative. Not just the Bible. All truth. It confronts you. And how you respond to the truth, you could get mad or you can respond to it correctly, determines your destiny in your life. But we've got Christians today that are calling themselves Christians but not living like it and thinking that's okay. They're away from the way. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 7 through 8. This is New Testament now. The church is already in existence. Jesus died on the cross. The Holy Spirit has been sent. This is the blueprint. He's writing to one of the churches in Corinth, and he says this, now therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren. So what's happening is that Christians are suing each other. They're going to court. They're having arguments and quarrels. And then he says this, do you not know that the unrighteous, here it is, will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Look at this right here. I'm just reading the word. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And some such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You know what that scripture basically says? He's rebuking the church at Corinth saying this, guys, you got to get it together. If you're going to serve Jesus and be a part of church, you cannot live with these things in your life. You can't. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. Are you guys seeing that? That's so judgy. Where's the love in that? Why is that there? Guys, it's the scriptures. The same heavenly Father that loves you to a T, loves you so much, is calling you out of bad behavior. You've got to see that. You know what some people are doing? Some whole denominations are doing. They're saying, well, we don't see it that way. I believe as the Methodist denomination changed all their beliefs to allow, in the name of grace, these kinds of activities within their church. In the name of grace, well, the grace of Jesus covers us all. Yes, it does. It covers us all. And Jesus loves every single one of these things. I mean, these people that are in these things. It's not a question of love. But do you know what it's a question of? Crossing over. Crossing over. You will never have the kind of life that God died to give you until we give up these types of behavior. These aren't the only ones, but these are some of them. Now, does God love people that do these things? Does he love you? Did some of us used to do those things? Don't answer this one, but do some of us still do these things? Yes. Does he love you still? Yes. But you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That's not me. That's not me, y'all. That's not me. That's what it says. What is the kingdom of God? God's way of doing things. So guess what had to happen when I got saved? I came to the altar as a 19-year-old boy. I had to quit fornicating. But here's the key. I wanted to quit. I had drank out of that cup, and it was fun for a moment. The next thing you knew, I was bound. I couldn't stop. So I came to that altar, and I gave it up. I said, Jesus, I give you my sexual sin. I give it to you. I don't want it. And guess what that did? Opened the kingdom of God up to me. You had to do it too. Some of you gave up drinking. Some of you stopped being drunkards, as it says there. Or 2018 version, potheads. Oh, but that's the herb from the ground. The Lord made the herbs. It's legal now. Listen, anything that alters your consciousness goes under drunkard. Anything that alters your ability to guard your mind goes under that. Now, I get it. Marijuana has some definite medical properties. Amen. But ain't nothing wrong with you. Listen, I got no problem somebody smoking weed if they got an ailment or something, because it's been proven. It's been proven. That stuff will help somebody that's going through some real medical stuff. But ain't nothing wrong with you. Well, I had a hard day at work. Pray. Pray. Go take a walk. Go exercise or something. Shake it off. But do you guys see what my point is today? To cross over, we've got to give God our heart. Now, how do we give God our hearts? This is what the whole thing's about. We give God our hearts by giving him our obedience. God doesn't have your heart till you begin to obey his word. And there's a lot of people that go to church, they experience the presence, they experience the goodness of God, just like Israel did in the wilderness. But they couldn't cross over. So this was Israel's response to not getting into their promised land quick enough. They were fed up with waiting in the wilderness. They weren't changing. If they had just changed, they could have crossed over. But here's the thing. They didn't want to change. They didn't want to change. They expected God to take them into the promised land just like they were. And God said, no, I ain't doing it. I ain't doing it until you guys learn to believe me, till you deal with the fear in your heart, until, number one, you serve me the way I've asked you. Are you guys seeing this? So here's what was happening in the wilderness at this time. The people of God got tired of waiting, and they didn't want to change, so they set up Wilderness Church. They set up Wilderness Church. They called their God Yahweh. And they got down and they had praise services. When you read on in the rest of that chapter there in Exodus, you see that Joshua meets Moses at the mountain. And he says, Moses, there's a sound in the camp. And he says, but it's not the shout of victory. He says, it's not even the cry of defeat. It's the sound of singing. I thought, that's interesting. He heard a sound out of the camp. It wasn't a victorious sound. It wasn't a sound of crying, asking for help. It was simply a sound of singing. Empty, vain worship. We got a lot of that going on in the world. A lot of churches full of people singing songs. Ain't no victory. Got a lot of people singing songs. Ain't no cry for deliverance even. It's just singing. It's just singing. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. The Holy Ghost hop. Y'all remember that back in the... I am a friend. No victory. No cry for deliverance. the sound of singing. That's what church in the wild is like. I don't know about you. I don't want it. I don't want it. Been there, done that, don't want it. Because it's robbing us from crossing over. After 30 years, I've been serving God. I'm tired of seeing families not get no better. I'm tired of seeing little kids grow up in church and be jacked up. Wait, hold up. You didn't grow up in the hood. You grew up in the church. Yeah, but I would walk through the hood. I'd be like around it. We would drive through it. I'm tired of seeing that. Do you know why that's happening? Wilderness living. It's time for generational curses to die. Let's get it right. You're going to be better than your parents. You're going to be richer than your parents. You're going to have a better career than your parents. Your kids are going to look better than your parents. See, you amen that. You shouldn't amen that. Because I'm talking about you. Gotcha. Everything should go better, but here's what we got to do, guys. Listen, this is what it comes down to. We got to give God our hearts so we can go over. You can't go over with this stuff. Now, you could be a part of this church. Can I just be dad today? Can I just be spiritual dad today and help you a little bit? You come to church and live with your girlfriend. You can come. You don't have to be married. You can come and shack up with your girl and sleep with her. We're going to love you. We're going to be here for you. But listen, you can't cross over like that. You got to do something about that. Amen? You could keep having babies by people that you don't marry, you're not married to. And we're cool with that. Hey, praise God. We love you. We're here for you. You know, hey, that's good. But you know what? You got to deal with that stuff because that curse needs to stop. Because there's an order of how God said to do things. Get yourself a man, then have babies. Amen? Get married, then have sex. Well, I just don't see it that way. See, that's that thing. I want to be a Christian, but I don't want to eat your doctrine. You know, can I just tell you, if I was making a religion, can I just be honest with you? Thank God, this ain't it. But I'd probably have a big church. It doesn't matter what you do. You can come to my church, and you can get to heaven. It only gonna cost you nothing. You just come into the house of God. And some of y'all go, I'm going to that church. Bring all your women, too. Bring all your girlfriends with you. Bring your side chick. We got a side chick section over here for you. We're going to come, and you can just serve the Lord however you want. Come on, we got a smoking section in the back. Weed from the Holy Land over here. We'd have a full church, y'all. We'd have a full church. We don't ever preach nothing that challenges you. We don't ever receive an offering because offerings make people uncomfortable. We don't want to make the people uncomfortable. So we'll put a box in the back of the room. And you want to give, you put it over there. But we're not going to talk about money. Do you know the second thing that Jesus talked about most when he was on the earth? Money. They would have called him a prosperity preacher if you read the scriptures. They would have. They would have stoned him for that. They would have. They didn't like it. He talked about it a lot. But see, if we're going to cross over, we got to toughen up. If we cross over, here's what we got to do. We got to give God our heart. It's hard. Look at these things, man. It's tough. But you guys know, when you came into the kingdom, there were things you had to let go of. I had to let go of some stuff. Well, you know, I was born this way. Uh-oh, Pastor, you really going to touch this? I got to touch it because it applies to every sin. And it's not, and don't, oh, you're homophobic. No, I'm not. Homophobic means I'm afraid of homosexuals, and I'm not. I love them. You can take that as many ways you can. But listen, here's the thing. I was born with a certain inclination when I came into the kingdom of God. You know what my inclination was? The way I was born, I wanted to have sex with women. And some of you men, well, hopefully all of you men, had that same inclination. But what happened when you got married? Your wife said, I don't care how you was born. You ain't doing it no more. Amen, ladies? Amen. I'm the only woman you're going to have. Do you think I could go to my wife and say, but baby, you know, I was born. I like to have women, a lot of women. And I like variety in those women. I love you the most. But I can't do anything about this. This is just the way I was born. Y'all laugh because you know Pastor Tina. She's reaching into her purse right now. Ushers, I'm gonna need help on the way out. But we see, we laugh, and it's easy to discard that and go, okay, I get it. But it's the same way with any other type of sin. There's a decision that has to be made. Yes, you were born that way. Okay, that's fine. But in response to the scriptures, we have to go, God, I lay that down. This thing I was born with, this desire that I have, I lay it down for you. I've got to do it. You've got to do it. The person next to you has to do it. The person on the other side of you has to do it. The dude in the back has to do it. That girl over there has to do it. We all have to do it. We don't get to change the scriptures and say, because I was born a certain way. Please hear this in the right vein, y'all. This is really love. Because we don't get to change the scriptures. It's there. It's there. And this isn't a message of hate or against. Please don't take it that way. This is a scripture of just going, guys, being a Christian requires something. Obedience. It ain't about, well, I see it this way, I see it that way. No, it's like, okay, it's in your word, God. It's going to be hard. I need your help. And that's when the Holy Spirit comes and goes, shoo, I can help you. Amen. It was hard for me to get free when I got saved. It didn't happen one time at an altar. I came and said, Lord, I know I can't enter in with this kind of thing on my life. You're going to have to help me. It didn't leave in one second. Months. But I was so adamant that I'm going to obey you, God, that everything God spoke to me to do, I did. And here's the thing. If you want to change, you got to listen to somebody. You know how hard, you know, discipleship is so hard nowadays because nobody want to listen to you. If I was you and you're just starting to serve God, find someone who's serving God and listen to him. Do whatever they say. I found a guy like that when he went to my high school and he was a couple years into the thing. And anything he told me to do, I did. And he was the guy that when I pulled up at church and into the church parking lot, he heard what I was bumping in my car. He said, no, you can't listen to that and serve God. I said, why not? He goes, well, that stuff is going to put images in your mind and you're going to be thinking unclean thoughts that are going to cause you to do unclean things and you ain't never going to get right. You know what I could have said? Well, I don't agree with that. Maybe that's like that for you, but I like this music and I'm going to keep listening to it. I get that a lot when I tell people. That was probably your voice I was imitating right there. I didn't. I said, you've been in it longer than me. You know more than me. And I respect your walk. I'm going to listen to you. I said, so dang, dude, what do I do? He goes, hey, I got some music for you. And he gave me this cassette. It was a cassette at the time. He gave me this cassette. He said, this is SFC, Soldiers for Christ. Put this in. Boom. I said, it ain't quite my thing, but I'm going to give it a shot. I'll be honest, it wasn't quite too short, but it was like, okay, I'm going to give this a shot. And it grew on me, and I did more. Are you tracking? But that was my attempt at the obedience, and guess what? God delivered me. Guys, we can't play and go through the motions, because what's going to happen is we're going to be a church in the wild. I don't want a church in the wild. I want a church in the promised land. I want to see you and your family be raised in the right environment. I want to see your kids not having babies out of wedlock. Come on, moms and dads. I want to see your kids grow up in the things of God and prosper and go on to college. Get careers, not go to prison. Amen? I want to see marriages make it. Let me leave you this. So it's going to cost us something to serve God. You know what the cost is? Obedience to his word. The word that is written. It's not my Bible, it's your Bible. It's you. You have the same Bible I do. If you would just read it, do it, it's going to get better. But it's when you start mixing in this, well, I don't agree, I don't know. Listen, keep going on your route. You'll stay in the wilderness and you'll probably find a church that worships an image of Jesus, but not Jesus. It's an image of Jesus that is full of grace. Because Jesus is full of grace. He covers our sin, but then he calls us out of it. What did Jesus tell the woman that was about to get stoned? And he said, hey, everybody here, you can't, he who has no sin, cast the first stone. In other words, he was saying, y'all can't stone this woman. Y'all got junk in your life too. The Bible says one by one, they put down their stones. He lifted up the girl and he said this, go and sin no more. You're forgiven. Boom. You know what he could have said? Get up, you're forgiven. Go on back to doing what you was doing. Don't worry about these guys. That's how we treat this God thing. We come to the altar. Oh, we receive forgiveness. But we forget the go and sin no more part. And then we still come back on Sunday. And then somebody in the congregation tries to help you. You're judging me. You're judging me. You're judging me. Judge. No, ain't nobody trying to judge you. This message shouldn't even be a hard message. It's just a message to take inventory. Am I serving God by giving him my heart? How do I give him my heart? Let me show you as we close here. Look at this. Psalms 119:9 says this. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart, I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. The word, you got to get the word in your life. Tell your neighbor, word. Word. Got to get that word. There it is. I see you. Proverbs 3. Now, let me read you here. Proverbs 23:26. It says, my son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. My ways. Because you know what they're going to tell you on the news and in your school? Live however you want. Here's a condom. Here's some pills. Did you know young girls don't even have to tell their parents if they're going in for an abortion? They don't need a written consent, anything like that. Did you know I can get in trouble if I baptize your son and daughter without a parent's consent? I can get in trouble for that. But I can't get in trouble, but you could go get a baby pulled out of your daughter and mom and dad don't even need to know about it. That's the world we live in. That's the world you're listening to. This is why the scriptures say this, give me your heart. And then I will show your eyes my ways. And you better know, God's ways ain't your ways. They're just going to be different, but you got to reside. I want to serve God. Look at this next one here. Proverbs 3, 5, and 7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path, my friend. Proverbs 3, and the verse is 6. Oh, wait, sorry, God. Had a flashback right there from 94 or something. I don't know. Trust in the Lord. I'm getting crazy today. I know. My kids are all embarrassed at me. And he shall direct your paths. Here's what it says. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't be wise in your own eyes. You know what that means? Listen to somebody. And when they tell you something, don't tell them things like this. Well, I don't see it that way. Of course you don't see it that way. If you saw it that way, you'd change. Right? Let's keep going. I'm going to let you go. Now you're getting hungry. I can hear your stomachs. Matthew 6:21 says this, for where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. This is where Jesus throws in the money part, just to make y'all mad. He says it, King of Kings. You want to know when I have your heart? When I have your treasure. When you're a tither, when you're a giver, that's when you have your heart. Just reading the Bible to you. I know. Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they'll see God. They'll see God. Psalms 51:10-11, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. You know what that's talking about? Worship creates a clean heart. Worship. Do you know why we have a song service before we preach? To get you to worship. It's time for some of you to start worshiping. Because what you're doing here ain't worshiping. Smile at me. What you're doing is this. I like this song. Man, you gotta give him worship. Because when you worship him, he's changing your heart. This ain't worship. You got to sing, lift a hand, make yourself. And if you got that cool demon on you, you guys know that cool demon? He's afraid of anybody seeing you. I see you worshiping with that cool demon. That cool demon's lying to you. You look dumber than the rest of us. You look dumber than the rest of us. Cool demon's lying to you. This ain't cool. Stand on your feet. So Joshua gets them ready. They cross over. They're ready to go in, guys. They're ready to take their new life. And Joshua says, hold up, wait a minute. Joshua 5, 2 and 3 says this. At the time of the Lord said to Joshua, get you some knives. Circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time. So Joshua made him some knives and he circumcised the sons of Israel at the heel of their foreskins. So check this out. And I preached about this before. That's the nastiest piece of scripture you're going to find. So they're ready. They're in the promised land now. They already crossed over. God says they can't go any further until circumcision takes place. The hardest thing to do known to man. And all the men said, some said, ow, some said, ay. It's hard, okay? But he said, you can't go in until you circumcised. Why? Because it was the obedience. See, while they were living in the wilderness, they weren't obeying God. Everybody that was born in Egypt was circumcised. But a new generation came, born in the wilderness, and they had paid no price. They had not obeyed God. So here they were. God says, we can't go any further until you make some knives. Guys, today, it's kind of a tough word. I made a knife. I made a knife today. Some of y'all, before you leave, you're going to have to change some stuff. It's like, I can't lie to you. You come into church, but life's not getting better. And you know it. You know it. But it will get better with one decision. Whatever that thing is that God's telling you to do, do it. Whatever he's trying to pull you out of, lay it down. So Joshua gets all these guys, and they do. They circumcise all these men. The Bible says they didn't go anywhere until everybody was healed. Took a while too. Groaned. I mean, that's some stuff. But look at what Romans chapter 2 says. For circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. But if you're a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Therefore, if uncircumcision man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, this will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision, and will not the physically circumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you who even with your written code and circumcision, a transition of transgressor of the law. But listen to this part. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart. The New Testament, you don't have to be circumcised to be a Christian. You don't. Thank God, because we ain't trying to have them kind of services. But in the New Testament, circumcision's of the heart. And it's painful. It's painful. Like, you don't get to live any old way anymore. And sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it's lonely. Sometimes there's tears involved. Sometimes they're going to call you church boy at your school, at your job. They're going to look at you sideways. You nerd, you square. They're going to do it. So some of that's involved, but it's circumcision of the heart. And what does that mean? Guys, listen, to give God your heart, you got to obey and keep obeying and keep obeying and keep obeying. You've got to make obedience to the Lord a habit. Amen.
Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store, and you can continue to get Word every week from Elevate Life Church.